Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and for those of you joining us online. We've got just a few announcements this morning. One is that this week is confirmation camp, so almost immediately after worship, me and the confirmands are going to head to Camp Agape for the week. I'm still working, so if you need something, you have my phone number, you can call or text. I might not get back to you immediately because the reception is spotty, but if you need something, feel free to reach out. And if I can't help you, I can triage and get you to someone who can. I am delighted this morning to welcome our guest musician, who is a very dear friend of mine. This is Dr. Donald Armitage. You might recognize him because he has been with us before. He was also here for my installation and my 40th birthday celebration. You all know Father's Day is not a good day for me, but I think it worked out beautifully that you are here on Father's Day because Dr. A, like many of you, is a father figure in my life. And the way that he says pastor in that one word, there's so much pride and love and support when he says that to me. And so we're grateful to have you playing for us today. We also pray for Judy and her family on their vacation, that they have a time of refreshment and renewal. Agape is meeting tomorrow at 6. Senior Citizens is meeting at 10:30 on Wednesday. And next week, we hope you'll join us because following worship, the Scholarship Committee is hosting lunch, a taco bar and salad bar. And now we've added a potato bar. So join us for lunch next Sunday, which will include a raffle for one of the baskets, as well as the silent auction for all of the others to help raise money for our scholarships, because this fall, we have 9 folks who will be receiving those. So we hope that you'll join us. And 2 weeks from today is Camp Sunday, where our campers will help lead worship. We'll sing some fun old school Sunday school songs and hear about what God did in their lives this week at camp. Following that, the Fellowship Committee is hosting a grill out for us with hamburgers and hot dogs. There are invitations in your mailboxes. If you haven't checked your mailboxes in a while, please do. There's also letters from the Cemetery Association for many of you to invite you to be members of the Cemetery Association. But Karen has an announcement. Brantley, can you take this to Karen? Oh, Karen.
Karen.
Thank you.
It sounds like Calvin.
Good morning. On behalf of the Fellowship Committee, we want to wish all of you a very, very happy Father's Day. And you know, God's commandment to us was to honor thy father and thy mother. It just so happens today we're honoring our fathers. In May, we honored our mothers. And I just want to say, I saw something on Facebook this morning, and it's from Lauren Slatter. And I'd like to, it's just real short. I hope you'll indulge me for just a moment. It says, to all the dads, the granddads, the stepdads, the moms who are dad, the foster dads, the pet dads, and the dads who are no longer with us. And also to those that are aspiring to be dad, and hopefully one day you will be. So, to honor all our mothers and fathers, I'd like everybody in the congregation to stand up and give yourself a round of applause.
Two last announcements. This is the third Sunday of the month, and so after our regular offering, we will take up a basket offering. This month, it is going to Crisis Ministry. And in a couple of weekends, Pastor Garrett and Pat Elder are hosting a prayer bead workshop where you have the opportunity to make some prayer beads for yourself. And in order to make sure that they have enough supplies, Pat has put up a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the ramp. If you'll sign up there just to make sure that they've got enough supplies. We have several birthdays and anniversaries this week. Ross Summer, Matthew Parsons, Mandy Fritz, Carol Varner, Frank Hamilton, and Eddie Heitman. And celebrating their anniversary, Sherry and Ted Proctor, Jan and Jim Watkins, Robert and Mandy Fritz, and Matthew and Monica Parsons. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, we've got a prayer shawl to bless and some prayer scarves for our confirmands going to camp. So this prayer shawl is for Cheryl Q. Kendall, who is John Lohr's boss's wife, who has a lot of health challenges right now. And so we will bless this for her. And these scarves are wrapped in friendship bracelets, one for each of our campers and one for me as well. And I'd love for you to pray over each of these blessings of safety, of courage, for fun, and for learning and growth as our kiddos go to camp. Brantley, will you hold this prayer shawl, please? God, we thank you for the gift of our prayer shawl ministry, for all of those who knit and crochet these shawls with prayer and with compassion, and for those who give the gift of yarn. We pray that Cheryl will feel your peace and comfort upon her, just as she feels the weight of this prayer shawl upon her. And we pray for all of our campers, Calvin, Brody, Isabel, Aaron, for me, and for all of the others who will join us at camp, that you would bless our week, that we would have courage to make new friends, to learn new things, and that you would grant us safety while there. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe that there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Georgia. Good morning, Lily. Annie. Good morning, Annie. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Maddie. Well, sometimes in worship, really neat things happen that we don't always plan, but that the Holy Spirit works out for us. And in the first hymn that we sang, four times, we asked God to give us courage. And one of the things that I've been especially praying about for our folks who are going to camp is to have courage. Courage to learn new things, courage to be away from home, and courage to just be able to go to camp. And so I thought of a really silly but kind of fun way to talk about courage. But I'm going to need someone who's really, really, really courageous to help me. Do I have any volunteers? You'll try, Sawyer? Perfect. So one of the things that I want our campers to know this week is that having courage, we can do it on our own, but it is a lot easier to do it with our church family behind us, supporting us, and loving us. That having them with us gives us more courage. And so I thought of a fun and silly way to show this, and this is where you come in. Okay, I'm gonna lay this blanket out on the floor. Okay, Sawyer, can you lay on this blanket up and down this way? Okay. Now, Sawyer, I need you to be really courageous and make yourself float in the air. Wait, you don't think you can do it? Okay, well, let me try to help you. Oh, well, that didn't quite work like I thought it would. Let's try again to have some courage with the help of our church family. So Sawyer, will you lay in the middle again? I'm gonna have our campers come down and help me this time. If you will grab on to this side of the blanket and you all grab on that side. Do you wanna help? Can you grab the corner, Brantley? Okay, Sawyer. Sawyer, are you ready to have some courage? Okay, everybody, let's see if we can lift up Sawyer. We did it. Okay, let's gently lay him back down. Gentle, gentle, gentle. That was excellent. Thank you for doing that, Sawyer. I'm so, so impressed. But the point of this is, it's sometimes hard to have courage on our own. But when we have our church family behind us, and with us, supporting us, and loving us, and caring for us, and praying for us, it helps us to have even more courage. It helps us to be braver, and it helps us to be stronger. So not only does the love and prayers of our church family go with all of us to camp, but it goes with all of us everywhere we go, to sports camp and to all the things that we have going on this summer. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Especially our church family. Help us to remember that our church family loves us, cares about us, supports us, and prays for us. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you all for coming up. Thank you for being courageous. You may all go to Children's Church with Tina this morning.
The New Testament lesson is from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats of me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago now, the very first time I attended a Lutheran church, I knew that my soul had found a home when the pastor offered the post-communion blessing, or the table blessing. "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace." It was an epiphany moment for me. In that moment, hearing those words still all these years later, it remains indescribable in so many ways. But what I can tell you is that what the Holy Spirit revealed to me in that moment not only changed my life, but changed the trajectory of my life. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. In that moment, I knew that the elements I had taken into my body were not simply symbolic. I hadn't simply eaten bread and drank wine with my physical body. I had partaken of Christ's very own body and blood. I had received into my body the very real presence of Christ, so powerful that it had the power to work in my soul. Even now, after all these years that I've spent studying theology and the sacraments, I'm still absolutely in awe at the profound mystery of all that the triune God does in and through Holy Communion. And so today, I am delighted that we are starting our summer sermon series on Holy Communion. It's called Food for the Journey, God's Feast of Memory and Hope. We're going to spend most of our Sundays this summer exploring all things communion. We're doing another sermon series like we did last year because many of you have shared with me that you connected with the sermon series we did on the Apostles' Creed. But more than that, so many of you have asked for an adult confirmation class because maybe you didn't grow up Lutheran and you didn't learn some of the things that we learn in confirmation. Or more likely you did, but it's been a while and maybe you have forgotten what you learned. As your pastor, I know that communion is meaningful to all of you. But the church is an interesting place because how we've talked about before, that we have our own vocabulary words, words we don't really use anywhere else in our lives. And we have things that we do here that we don't really do anywhere else in our lives, like communion. And so maybe by no fault of your own, there's a lot you never learned about communion. Or maybe there's a lot you don't understand. And maybe you just don't want to let on because you feel like you should know these things and you should understand them. And if you had to ask, then maybe you'd be embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, this is a safe place to be curious, a safe place to ask questions, a safe place to learn and grow in knowledge and understanding. And my hope and prayer is that you lean into that truth this summer. So let's go back to the very, very beginning. What even is a sacrament? The word sacrament means hallowed, holy. It means sacred, secret, mysterious. The word sacrament comes from the Latin sacramentum, which is a translation of the Greek word for mystery. When we say mystery in the church, we aren't talking about the kind of mystery that Angela Lansbury would solve on Murder, She Wrote. Right? When we say mystery in the church, it's not a problem or a puzzle to figure out or solve. When we talk about mystery in the church, especially as it's related to the sacraments, what we are saying is that this mystery is something we can't fully know on our own. The way that the Greek word for mystery was used in the first century and in the early church is not that it's something unknowable. It's something that can only be known through revelation because God reveals it to us. And so a mystery is something that only God knows, like a secret, until God reveals that secret. And in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God reveals to us the beautiful mystery of Holy Communion. Just like the Spirit did for me that morning all those years ago, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. In the Lutheran Church, as in many Protestant churches, we have two sacraments. Who knows what they are? Baptism and communion. That's exactly right. Now, I'll ask rhetorically the next question, because I don't really want to put you on the spot. What makes something a sacrament? Well, one, it is something that is connected with God's promise or God's word. Two, it's something that Jesus commanded us to do. In the case of Holy Communion, take and eat the cup, drink of it, all of you. And number three, it uses a physical element, something we can see, something we can touch. In the case of communion, something we can taste, the bread and the wine. So in the coming weeks, we're going to dig deeper into this mystery that Luther called our greatest treasure. We're going to explore this outward and visible sign of an inward grace. And we're going to live more deeply into the truth that the sacraments, that Holy Communion isn't something that we do, but it's all about what God is doing. It's all about God's unending faithfulness to keep coming to us again and again in this meal. So some of the things that we're going to explore this summer about Holy Communion are the different names and meanings of Holy Communion. That's what we're going to look at next week. There's the Lord's Supper, there's the Last Supper, there's Holy Communion, there's the Eucharist, there's the Mass, there's all sorts of names. The Wedding Feast of the Lamb, the Paschal Feast. What do all of these names mean, and what do they teach us about Holy Communion? We're going to remember the long history of meals that God has provided for God's people throughout Scripture, like the manna in the desert, like all of the meals that Jesus shared with folks throughout his ministry. We're going to look at the Last Supper, and we're going to look at the meals that they shared together in the early church when they broke bread. We're going to look at what communion looked like in the early church and how we might reclaim some of those practices today. You've heard me say before that the font leads to the table and the table leads to the font. We're going to look at how baptism and communion are connected and what that means for how we live out our discipleship in our everyday life. We're going to get into this part. This is a fun one for me. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of the liturgy, especially the meal portion. We're going to look at what some of the words that we use, what they really are saying, what they mean. We're going to look at why is it in this order, and how does it all come together so that communion is the culmination of our worship. We're also going to think about how Holy Communion isn't just the center of our worship, but that God intends for it to be the center of our lives. And we're going to explore how all of this points us toward the great hope of the feast that God has prepared for the day when Jesus returns again in glory to fully and completely bring the reign of God. On that day, when Jesus comes again to restore all things, God will swallow up death forever, and all people, the entire communion of saints, will feast at God's great banquet table. I hope this has piqued your interest. I hope that it's stirred up some questions in you. I'd love for you to write down questions you have so that you can ask them of me and of each other. I'm hoping several times this summer for anyone who wants to meet briefly after worship to talk about these questions, to talk about things that you're wondering about, things that you're thinking about. I have many hopes and goals for all of us with this sermon series. But if I had to sum it up, if I really, really had to sum it up, it would be this. My hope and prayer is that you would develop such a robust understanding of what God is doing in Holy Communion, so that you would know, really know, with deep hope and confidence and joy, that Christ is truly, truly, and fully present with us in the bread and wine. I hope and pray that you would deeply know and understand that Christ is just as present with us now in the bread and wine as Christ was present in his flesh with the disciples. That's the truth about what we believe about Holy Communion. The presence of Christ in a human body is just the same presence that we experience, that we hold in our hands every Sunday when we receive the bread and the wine. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, wasn't just God with us for 33 years, 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still God with us in the sacraments, because every Sunday, in baptism and in communion, the presence of Christ is with us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus showed God's love by eating with people throughout his entire ministry, including after his resurrection. And Jesus continues to show God's love by eating with us. God not only prepares a table for us, but Jesus sets the table. And in great love and mercy, he becomes the very food that we eat. In this sacred and holy and mysterious meal, Jesus is with us. Jesus feeds us. Jesus is loving us. And Jesus is forgiving us. God invites us this and every Lord's Day to feast on Christ, who again and again comes to us to give himself for us, to nourish us, to sustain us, and to empower us as food for the journey. Stay tuned. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world. Nourish your faithful people through gifts of word and worship. Guide the church in listening to and interpreting your message of grace for this time and place in history. In your wisdom, lead us in expanding the reach of your love. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Nature sings our love in the mornings and your faithfulness at night. Sustain the holy rhythms of creation, days and seasons, hibernation and activity, phases of the moon and tides of the sea. Let these patterns assure us of your consistency. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You raise the holy and humble, those in high regard. Rise up all who are victims of marginalization, discrimination, and hate. As we anticipate Juneteenth, banish white supremacy and bigotry from the hearts of your people and remove the inclination towards anger and violence. Merciful God, tend to all who journey by faith and who wait with patience for the fulfillment of your healing promises, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Mike and Joanna, Debbie, John, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Luke. Grant preservation to people doing physical and occupational therapy, people living with mobility concerns, and people facing chronic pain. Merciful God, as you have loved us, so let us love one another. Empower fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, adopted fathers, and chosen fathers to embody this gift of love for their children. Where these relationships are strained or broken, and for all who grieve, bring your comfort and peace. Merciful God, with gratitude, we remember all the saints who are now at home with you. Plant seeds of their wisdom and witness in our hearts, that we grow in faith until we journey them in your heavenly dwelling. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid. Through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Your table more than we can ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
You may be seated while we have a brief prayer of blessing and sending for our campers. Because living into our mission statement, if y'all want to come on down. Living into our mission statement by sending them to camp, not only are you keeping the promises that you made to them in their baptism, but you are living into our mission statement by providing worship and Christian education for these young people. Brody, will you come forward as well, please? He's not going to? Okay. Brody will pray for you from here. So as you all know, Brody and Calvin are currently in confirmation. And you might see Isabel and say, well, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure we confirmed her in October. And we did. But she loves camp so much that she wanted to go one more time. And she's in the age requirement. And she's bringing with her this summer her pal, Aaron. So we've got four campers going. Enough to fit in my car, but not enough room in my car for luggage. So we also have a couple parents who are bringing luggage to us and bringing it back home. But let us pray for these, our campers. Gracious God, you are with us wherever we go, and you send us out to do fun and important and life-changing things with you. We ask your blessing over our campers. They are about to embark on a journey filled with adventure, fun, and faith formation that will help them grow closer to you, to their pastor, and to others. Bless them this week so that all of their fears and anxieties might be met with your peace. Bless them this week so that all of their questions and seeking might be explored with your guidance. Bless them this week so that all of their excitement and energy might be met with your joy. Bless Isabel and Aaron, Brody and Calvin on their camp journey this week. Bless them with growth in your spirit and delight in your creation. Help them feel close to you and remind them that we here back home are praying for them this exciting week ahead. Help them to know our love and our hopes for them this week. And bless our church too, God. Bless us as we wait for our campers to return home prayerfully and patiently. Bless us so that we might be changed just as they are because of their week at camp. Send us out now, O God. Send our campers to walk and play and adventure with you. And send our church to do the same. Send each of us out into the world, knowing that you are with us and that our church family is supporting us and praying for us wherever we go. Amen. We ask that you continue to pray for us this week, that we will feel held and cared for in your prayers. Let us now sing our closing hymn.
Sing, O Lord, your sin and truth, and give thanks. Go in peace. Go in peace. You are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God.